Lord, we give you thanks and praise as we enter this fifth Sunday of Lent. And we pray that through your grace, we would recognize the importance that when you are lifted up, you will draw everyone to yourself. Through our words and our actions, may we always proclaim your greatness and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So, you know, when a saint's feast day falls or a memorial falls on a Sunday, they kind of get kicked off the calendar because Sunday is always the most important celebration. It's the day of the Lord, and we celebrate that, so they kind of are kind of forgotten. But of course, today is St. Patrick's Day. I'm part Irish. I see many people wearing green. Don't even think about pinching me because I have green in this vestment right here, this little cross. I got this vestment almost 27 years ago when I first got ordained. Someone gave it to me as a gift. I don't wear it very often, but I thought today I'm going to wear this so no one pinches me as I'm wearing green. And wishing you all a most blessed day. What a wonderful day it is today. The sun is out, and that's rare for us over here in Western Washington, isn't it? Today we have some wonderful scripture readings to work with, and the Lord is reminding us that His mercies are new every morning, Lamentations chapter 3. And in the first reading from Jeremiah, the prophets always had the privilege not only of calling people to task and pointing out that they had deviated from the covenant, but telling people that God is good and He always wants to do something new in our life. And I find it a particular blessing when I meet people who are really enthusiastic about their faith. They're always trying to, you know, learn something new, maybe about the sacraments. Hey, I learned something new about going to reconciliation today. The Lord showed me an insight. Or coming to Mass, you know, something was said and I never thought about this so deeply, but today the Lord really gave me an insight. I love people when they share those kind of testimonies with me because they really believe that's the essence of our discipleship. Behold, I am doing something new. And so it's so easy for us to kind of settle into routine. So Jeremiah was announcing, hey, the Lord's going to do something new and give you this new covenant and write His law within your heart. That's a reference also to Ezekiel 36. You know, I will prove my holiness through you. I will give you a new heart and take out your stony heart and put a heart of feeling and flesh inside of you so that you can live by my statutes, and I will prove my holiness through you. So we're incredibly blessed to be living in the fullness of time where we recognize that God sent His Son to save us from our sins. And when He is lifted up, He draws everyone to Himself and removes all the hostility and the walls that divide us. And we have so many divisions right now in our society, in our world, and even in our church. And Jesus, when we come to Him, breaks those walls of hostility down and brings us into communion with God and with one another. So we're incredibly blessed to be under this new covenant. And like the second reading declared, we need people to stand in the gap and pray and intercede on behalf of our world because it's very lost and misguided right now, right? So Jesus, when He was in the flesh, you know, through cries and tears, offered supplications and prayers to the Lord that He could fulfill His ministry and redeem us by His sacrifice on Calvary. And now, as followers of Him, we need to take seriously the call to intercede on behalf of the world, that God is still offering a hand of mercy, not condemnation. We had a beautiful reading a few weeks ago, didn't we? That God so loved the world, He sent His Son not to condemn the world, but to save it. And so, as followers of Jesus, we have to always be drawn deeper into the importance of intercessory prayer, that we never have to feel helpless, that we can always pray in the power of the Holy Spirit when we experience our own brokenness or the brokenness of other people around us in just a fallen world. And I was reminded of that yesterday in a real powerful way. I had to do a very difficult funeral for a young man they found dead at a bus stop, probably 26 or 27 years old. And the mother was there and was just wailing and crying. And I totally understand that. I can't even imagine what that would be like to lose a son, you know. And I think everybody in the room was just feeling overwhelmed, like, what do you do? How do you, you know, we were gonna start the funeral and this just went on. And so I sat down in my little chair in front of the podium and I just started praying in the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden I got some guidance and some words and I had to change something I was gonna share during my homily. because what I had had needed to change in light of the experience there. I'm telling you this because you too have this gift inside of you, this gift of the Holy Spirit. And to remember, like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, don't neglect this gift. That when you find yourself pressed by the enemy and or in a difficult situation and people are just panicked and overwhelmed by what they're experiencing, you pray in the Holy Spirit and then guidance will come to you as far as to be a sign and representative for Jesus in that moment, a sign of his love and affection. So you don't feel helpless and overwhelmed by what you're experiencing. And I've had many other situations in my life where I've done that. Unfortunately, sometimes I forget, you just get drawn into the emotional response and you just follow along with everyone and you just feel helpless, like, oh gosh, I can't do anything about this. But if you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, God will give you the wisdom and guidance to be a sign of his love in the midst of that difficult situation. Remember Father Montague sharing a story once. He's a wonderful priest. I'm not sure if he's still alive. If he is, he's pretty old and closer to glory. But he came and did a retreat here, and he talked about how a woman one night thought she was being followed by a car. And she had this old police car that, you know, you can buy those old police cars with a light on the mirror inside. And so this guy kept going closer and closer to her in a truck, and she just hit the gas, and that thing just took off like she couldn't believe. It had an overtaking gear inside of it because police need to speed to catch and pursue people. Well, she had no idea that it was equipped with that. But that night, she was sure appreciative of that little function on that car. You and I have an overtaking gear as well when the enemy pursues us. And remember to fan into flame this gift of the Holy Spirit and ask, and you just say a simple prayer like, Lord Jesus, send forth the Holy Spirit now to strengthen me in my inner self to be a witness to you in the midst of this difficulty that I'm experiencing right now. That's just what I was praying yesterday. And he comes through. He's faithful. It's not like, oh, that didn't work. You know, you may not get the response you want, but he'll give you something to be a sign of his love and affection for the people around you. Don't neglect this gift. One day my dad was visiting his mother, Grandma Esther, and she boldly proclaimed him, I always carry a rosary in my purse. And my dad said, well, that's nice. Do you ever take it out and use it? And he got the infamous grandmaster look, the piercing blue eyes and the raised eyebrows and forehead. We've all received that, some more than others. But he's right. Do you ever use it? You know, what's the point of carrying it around if you don't use it, if you neglect it? And I'm telling you that to say that when you have a difficult experience this week, and chances are you probably will, and I will too, don't forget that God has equipped you with this overtaking gear, this gift of the Holy Spirit to help you and assist you. He's our interior teacher. That first reading gave the reference to that you won't need people to teach you anymore, that God, you will have direct access to teaching through this gift of the Holy Spirit. I will place my spirit within you. And so we have this gift, but if we don't call upon the Lord to activate it and use it, then we're not going to do a lot. You know, my brother coaches sports, and he's really good at it. And he was telling me once on a fishing trip about how parents have come up to him and said, you know, we really appreciate you coaching our kids because you're helping them with discipline and developing a sense of character and confidence because you see a gift inside of them and you're trying to develop that and enhance it, you know, to help them grow and realize that, you know, they have something they can offer and do and master in their life. It's the same way spiritually. When I see people really understanding the teaching of the Lord and the Bible and the church on the gift of the Holy Spirit and using it, I get excited. Like, yes, that's the way to do it, you know. Don't be powerless and be a victim or be shamed. You have this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, your interior teacher, to help you in difficult situations. And so we want to be coached in the school of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we learn to just yield to his promptings, and we find out that, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul tells us. Amen? So, yesterday I shared a devotion with the family, and I want to share it with you as well. This is a different one, actually, for today, but it's from a favorite devotional that I have that you've heard me talk about ad nauseum. Jesus today, Jesus calling, Jesus tomorrow, Jesus yesterday, all these devotionals from Sarah Young, but this is about courage and allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our inner self, which I think is very important for us right now. Hope and courage go hand in hand. When you are waiting for longed for answers to prayer, it takes courage to continue hoping in me. The world, the flesh, and the devil all tell you it's easier just to give up and give in to dull disappointment. In a sense, this is true. To keep praying with positive expectation requires a lot of effort and perseverance. Giving up is momentarily easier. However, a resigned, I give up attitude is always hurtful in the long run. Often this leads to cynicism and eventually to despair. So it's well worth the effort to keep your hopefulness alive. Courage comes from the French word for heart. Since I live in your heart, you can call upon me to help you live courageously, facing adversity or danger with confidence and determination. I am well aware of your circumstances, and I take pleasure in helping you cope with them. So stand firm in my strength, beloved, refusing to give in or give up. I take pleasure in you always, but especially when you're bravely hoping in my steadfast love. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear or be afraid, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and in His incomparably great power for us who believe. Ephesians 1:18-19. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His steadfast love. Psalm 147. So Lord, we come before You and we thank You for fulfilling Your promise and sending us the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us never to neglect this gift, but to pray in faith and confidence through the name of Jesus that You fan it into flame and make us bold witnesses of Your love in the midst of our broken and fallen world. We ask this with confidence, through Christ our Lord.